CAA officials are relieved to see big crowds at Oshkosh. All this new space takes some getting used to. And European media follows Sir Richard to Wisconsin. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Welcome back to Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, and thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 28, 2009. At the official opening of EAA Air Venture yesterday, there were smiles and lots of exhaling when arriving visitors confirmed the promise of increased advance registrations. EAA Media and Public Relations Director Dick Nepinski put it this way.
Aviators, apparently, with all the economic things going on, still say, you know, we're going to gather together and have some fun here at Oshkosh.
EAA President Tom Poberesny elaborated when he welcomed reporters a little after 10 a.m.
To give you an idea of what's happening, we've got some problems, good problems, problems that can be solved. The campsite is now essentially full. We're into overflow. I mean, we still can handle campers, but we're in the overflow areas that we've never been before. North Florida Aircraft Camping is closed temporarily because of capacity. We're sending that area to other airports. Our transit is still open, but you know they're coming in very fast. I guess what I'm saying is the fact is that the attendance expectations we had have been exceeded. Our advanced ticket sales are running 33% ahead of last year. I don't expect the attendance to be up 33%, but all the numbers right now are running significantly ahead of last year and far ahead of expectation, which indicates, number one, the value of this event to the aviation community, and more importantly, people are ready to get back engaged after a tough economic situation over the last 6 to 8 months. So it's very, very encouraging.
As for exhibitors, EAA says the number of exhibitors is up this year, but there's a less crowded feel to the grounds. Part of that is the absence of some former regulars who had large exhibits in the past, like Eclipse and Harley-Davidson. But Nepinski says the $3.8 million expansion of the available exhibit space by 60% also plays a big role in the visual changes. Some heavy afternoon thunderstorms notwithstanding, there was plenty of traffic through the show yesterday. The presence of the Virgin Galactic Mothership Eve and Sir Richard Branson's preparations for his first flight aboard the craft have drawn an interesting mix of media this year. Here in the Media Mall, British network ITN has a makeshift TV production facility set up in the back of a rented minivan. Not everyone's a Branson fan, but there's no denying his celebrity. Eve, formerly known as White Knight 2, made a flyby a little after 2:30 p.m. yesterday, flanked by the Ford Trimotor, a sort of caricature of the heritage flights common at air shows. The mothership landed for its stay on Aero Shell Square about 2:45 p.m. Branson was supposed to be checked out by the FAA yesterday for qualifications to be a crew member and is scheduled to make his first flight in the big plane today. Up next on ANN, Elvis is in the building, or over it. Icon's Amphibious A5 flies at Oshkosh. And Garmin introduces a half dozen new products on the same day. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the luxurious Piper Meridian. Six-seat comfort, 500 horsepower turboprop, maximum cruise speed, 260 knots true airspeed, range 1,000 nautical miles, useful load, 1,698 pounds. Maximum operating altitude, 30,000 feet. Now available with the Garmin G1000 GFC 700 Avionics Autopilot Suite. To learn more about the Meridian, visit us at Oshkosh booths 140 through 143 and 158 through 161. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Among the notable aircraft arriving yesterday at Oshkosh was the Ericsson Sky Crane, dubbed Elvis, which demonstrated its prodigious firefighting capability with a 3,000-gallon water drop. The Icon A5 Light Sport Amphibian has been undergoing transition testing, meaning it's been equipped with wheeled gear for the first time. It flew some passes for the crowd at Whitman Regional yesterday, in the first major opportunity for anyone to see it fly in person. On Friday, Icon test pilot and project engineer John Karkow will demonstrate the A5's capabilities flying from the AirVenture seaplane base. Avionics juggernaut Garmin had a half dozen announcements of significance at AirVenture yesterday. Among the most impressive is a milestone, the installation of the 100,000th GNS 400 and 500 series GPS NavCom sets. It's estimated the series is installed on about half of all U.S. single and twin-engine piston and turbine aircraft, making it among the most popular avionics of all time. To commemorate the occasion, Garmin is donating the 100,000th unit, a GNS 530W, to the Young Eagles in a ceremony on Thursday. Garmin also introduced the G3X, a non-TSO'd glass cockpit for retrofit in experimental and light sport aircraft. The G3X is a customizable PFD and MFD combination that features one, two, or three all-glass displays, magnetometer, Adahars, engine monitoring, and temperature probe. The building block design allows customers to tailor the system specifically to their aircraft. The G3X is expected to be available by the end of the year. The unit's screens are 7-inch portrait-oriented displays with built-in VFR GPS receivers and can also interface to optional systems including Jeppesen charts and XM weather. MSRP is reported at about $10,000 U.S. Garmin's G600 now has an SVT option, a new autopilot interface, and a new baby brother. The G500 is essentially a G600 for Part 23 aircraft that don't need Class 3 capability, with an MSRP of about $16,000 U.S. The anticipated GTS 800 series autopilot family was also launched yesterday, providing TSO'd terrain awareness and TCAS today and ADS-B readiness for tomorrow. And finally, Garmin's MyCast application is now available for the iPhone and now offers airport diagrams for the BlackBerry and Windows mobile versions. I know there's a lot to digest here. You can get the details at Garmin.com. Still ahead, Dale Clapmeyer says Cirrus wouldn't offload the jet program to just anyone. The rains fall down on a sleepy little town down around San Antone. And indulge me for a moment in an observation. You're listening to Aero News.
Introducing the TWX 670 Tactical Weather Detection System. Avadyne's new TWX 670 is a third-generation lightning-based weather detection system that provides a simple and intuitive color-contoured display with an instantaneous picture of surrounding weather. Check us out online at www.avadyne.com or call 1-800-AVADYNE.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Speaking at AirVenture yesterday on behalf of Cirrus Aircraft, company co-founder and vice chairman Dale Clapmeyer stepped back from the earlier tone of CEO Brent Wouters regarding an attempt by Alan Clapmeyer to form a group to take over development of the Cirrus Vision SF-50 jet. Where Wouters described evaluation of Alan's proposal by the Cirrus board as simply a perfunctory responsibility to stockholders and lumped it with a search for capital in, quote, every dark corner of the world, unquote, Dale took a softer tone when asked if the sale of the jet program to his brother might be seriously considered.
We are not going to split it off and sell it to somebody else, but Alan is different because, you know, it's still going to be developed across the runway then. It's not getting moved to Timbuktu.
Would that kind of a split off
mean that you would investigate letting the development go on through an outside company headed by Alan and then share, for example, marketing and distribution?
Yeah, maybe.
You can hear the entire interview in coming days on the Aero News special feature.
They're not going to help us out by sitting on out. Can you do that? All right, you got another word, I promise. Here we go.
This year's opening day concert at AirVenture featured the Doobie Brothers, who first came to fame in the 1970s with songs that inspired a generation of garage bands. The band also is minorly famous for its involvement in general aviation. Once the hits were coming at a pace that allowed the budget, a series of three successive Martin 404 piston twins carried the band to its gigs. The planes were painted in Doobie Liner livery, and one of them became a bit of trivia in the 1984 movie Romancing the Stone. I won't go into detail here, you're going to have to rent the film. Anyway, last night the guys did a great show, and there was no shortage of fans braving the threatening skies over Aeroshell Square to watch them. And finally today, an observation. Aero News, these audio Aerocasts, and now Aero TV, are aimed at bringing you the excitement and the warts of aviation and aerospace. But not everybody we cover is so happy to have you see the warts. In particular, EAA and AOPA are now fielding their own so-called news services so they can maintain tighter control over the viewpoints and stories reaching you about them. We'd like to think that most readers, listeners, and viewers understand that if you only listen to any organization's own internal PR, what's happening within that organization is presented through a pretty tight filter. Sometimes the difference is subtle. On Monday, some amazing aircraft were scheduled to arrive at AirVenture, and some highly anticipated products were introduced by event exhibitors that include some of the biggest names in aviation, on the grounds of the event, with advance notice to editorial staffs. You got to read about, hear about, and see them through Aero News Network and Aero TV. Well, EAA's in-house newspaper, AirVenture Today, didn't get to any of that until page 12, after stories about the rededication of the event's entryway arches, an explanation of the value of the changes in the layout of the event, an interview with EAA facilities manager Steve Taylor, and an announcement of the availability of flush toilets at selected sites, with a companion video exit poll of users of those new facilities. Now, all these things are useful and fun and have their place, and the point here is not to be critical of EAA's editorial policies in its own publications. The point is just to notice that those policies exist. Any organization will, at times, find its own communications agenda at odds with the priorities of news consumers. It's important to get news on any organization from the outside to be fully informed. This seemed worth mentioning because both EAA and AOPA now have their own products designed to look like news media, and both are less friendly to outside coverage today than they were even a year ago. Never forget there are more options than just Kool-Aid on the beverage menu, and never stop looking for them. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk about what's new at Teledyne Continental Motors with President Rhett Ross. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.